too.
Such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri. There's so many exciting and wonderful places, mountains and jungles and desert oases. Pleasant as home is, it isn't what Rome is, so why stay there when there are so many fabulous faraway places to see? Why should Spain and Tahiti and Rio just be only names to you and me? I feel certain there's...
Welcome back. I'm Michael Ray. You're listening to Thought Provoking Talk on Dresser After Dark. David Hossager is with us. He is the author of The Trust Edge, How Top Leaders Gain Faster Results, Deeper Relationships, and a Stronger Bottom Line. He's a business strategist and a keynote speaker. And through his book and program, The Trust Edge, he shares the secrets of using trust to impact the bottom line. And let us say hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much, Michael. Great to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. You know, David, that word trust is a very interesting word. As it relates to the human being, let's define what that word means, because that seems as though that's going to be the bond, that bridge that will connect two people together, that word.
That's right. You know, a lot of people say, oh, trust, that's just honesty, or that's just this, or that's just that. The way I define it is a confident belief in. If I trust someone, I have a confident belief in that person, that product, that organization, a confident expectation that they'll deliver what they say, that they'll act the same way every time. And so really, trust in on its own is just a confident belief in or expectation in.
Now, by the way, in business, I can see that work. And it also should work in politics. I think that word in and of itself, and I'm not going to get political, but just the what we see going on in the country today, because it is a trickle-down effect. If we don't have trust there, we don't have trust in the businesses. If we don't have trust in the businesses, and in a world, we can go with that one. So I think it's an extremely important word. Do you think we have lost it and we have to redevelop it, or it's still there, we just don't recognize it?
Well, I think two things. I think, number one, people have lost it for good reason. And number two, there are places that it is that we don't realize. Let's start with number two. I was just in India. My book launched in India. Really exciting to see all that's happening there. However, look, where you can buy off the government, you can buy off your ticket, you can, a speeding ticket, you can bribe your way in or out of that, there's an incredible lack of trust in government and in the financial system, and in business as a result. Much, much, much lower trust than in America. So let's go back to number one. America, we have a certain trust issue. We think it's terrible. The truth is, it is terrible in some areas, but it's not even close to as bad as it is many places. By and large, in America, we trust that our money is worth something. We can trust that payment's going to come if someone says it's going to, by and large. We can actually trust, by and large, even our government and certainly our police and government institutions and generally business. And that's why we have the best system that's out there today. In the midst of that, we have lost some trust, and there's some things we can do about it, and there's some disasters that, as you and I both know, are about to happen if we don't.
Absolutely. Now, I want to touch on the eight pillars of trust, but a couple of them that I'm looking at it here, and they stick out because we've found that we've missed this. We've missed this in government. We've missed this in a lot of the major businesses and on Wall Street. One is clarity. There isn't any. And character is an interesting word. Competency, I'm trying to find it, and a connection and consistency. Those are just a few of them that I'm looking for these, and it's very hard to find today that combination of just those in any of the entities that we look at.
Let me tell you, you know, the book is called The Trust Edge, and basically it's this distinct advantage of those that are trusted. It's this edge, this advantage. And wherever we found organizations, this came out of my graduate research and before, but in all the, you know, the research, these eight pillars that you just mentioned, or some of them, you know, all eight were a part of those that had the greatest impact and generally the greatest bottom line. Now, I did not define success only in bottom line terms, but also in breadth of impact over time. And those that are most successful had all eight. Now, some of these you'll say, boy, that's a simple idea. And the truth is it's not brain, you know, it's not just neuroscience. I mean, here I came up with it. But the truth is very few people and very few organizations are doing all eight. And those that are very successful in impact and in the bottom line. So to your point about the eight, you're right. We have issues. I mean, the eight just very quickly are clarity, that, you know, people trust the clear, mistrust the ambiguous, compassion, the ability to think beyond yourself, character, when people, you know, this moral character and integrity, those are different actually, but they add up to character, competency, this ability, I trust you, Michael, with my kids for the weekend maybe because of your character. I won't trust you to give me a root canal because you're not competent at that, so you've got to be competent in the place you're going to be trusted. And look, we have issues right now in government where you've got these people, they can't run a business, they've never budgeted anything, and now they're in charge of the biggest budget in the world. There's a real competency problem. Commitment, I mean, hardly people have commitment, and you know what? It's not, they were committed to first by Harley with quality in 1967 when that group took over. I mean, there was a real commitment to the rider, and that's why there's this big commitment back. Connection, as you say, you know, people want to be around friends, people that will connect with them, and we can talk more about it. Contribution, that's the idea that we actually expect results at the end of the day. We want contributors to give us results. You know, not if you're just compassionate and kind of high character, but you don't ever give me the results, I don't trust you. However, if you give me the results, but do it in the wrong way without compassion, I also won't trust you over time. And finally, consistency, and that's the king of the pillars. We've got to be consistent. That's how reputations and brands are built. But you're right, there's a problem, and we don't see all of them in government or business very often. Where we see them, we see success, impact, and a greater bottom line.
Well, let me tell you what I just heard, and I think it's extremely important. We started the show out with what is trust, define it. And what I'm hearing very loud and clear, that trust is a process. And if you don't know all of the components, you're not going to reach your end result to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. Trust is not just a word that I trust you. Well, what does that mean? And it means so many different things
exactly.
To so many people. So it's a process.
It is a process, and you know what? It starts often little by little, even though transfer trust can happen very quickly. So, well, you could say trust can be lost in a moment. It's kind of like a forest, takes a long time to build, and yet a touch of carelessness can burn the whole thing down in moments. Trust is like that. On the other hand, we have something I define as transfer trust, and that's where, you know what? If I trust Michael, and Michael trusts Joe, and Michael says Joe's trustworthy to me, then I trust Joe very quickly. He didn't have to take so long to build it. However, he did have to take the time to build it with Michael. So you do have some ways of building it more quickly, but you're right, it's a process, and you're right that all eight pillars, you know, people, you know, some of these things, some of these truths are very timeless. On the other hand, trust is very timely. And some of these things will jump out and say, oh, yeah, I get that, like character. Well, of course you need character as a foundational piece. But then some of them, once you get into it, they really surprise people a little bit and say, oh, I've got to be the first one you said, clarity. They might have well-meaning, great intent, even high character, but they're absolutely not clear. And we don't trust those that are so ambiguous and muddled and vague. We need clarity to trust them. That's why if a salesperson is clear about the benefits, I might buy. If a leader is clear about the vision, I might follow. Clarity is absolutely powerful and needed, but all the pillars are.
No question about it. But one of the things I'm seeing also with the pillars, you talked about the transfer of trust. You trust me, I trust him, I recommend him to you. But let's say, for instance, that your main goal is you want somebody that is compassionate. They have compassion within them. And I trust them because they're clear, they made a good connection, they're competent, they've committed to what they're doing, and we're finding consistency and an end result, the result and effect of what we do. So I say, okay, but you know, Bob's just like that. And you say, great, I'm going to trust Bob. And you get involved with Bob, and all of a sudden, Bob is not compassionate. And everything else that he was is thrown out the window because your definition of trust is that. And I really believe that if you sat down with somebody and said, refer somebody to me, I trust them. And somebody said, what is trust to you? It's this, it's that, it's this. Do they pass the test?
Yeah. Well, and what I would say is the definition is pretty much the same for everyone. At least that's what my research would say. It is that confident belief, that confident expectation in them. And so what builds that confident belief? Well, all eight: consistency, compassion. Hey, if they don't have compassion, I doubt if very many people are going to say they trust them, because they don't like them. They don't ever have the ability, that person doesn't ever have the ability to trust beyond themselves. Or that person will say, I trust them, with a caveat. I trust that person to give me results. You know, they always fix my car right, but man, they sure are a jerk when they do it. You know, yeah. Few people will say they just outright trust someone or an organization without all eight pillars. It's interesting how that works, but it takes all eight to really be most trusted, or gain what I call the trust edge, this advantage that kind of transcends and builds, you know, the greatest brands, the greatest leaders, the greatest organizations.
Oh, sure. And when you get trusted brands, a great example of that is Coca-Cola. You're going to go out for soda. Well, you're going to go out for Coke. Well, you're not going to go out for a strawberry.
Yeah.
And that has all of those things.
Exactly. You're right on.
Yeah. And that's
that's why we go to, you know, here in the Midwest, we say, you know, I might have a caribou. Well, caribou second now to only to Starbucks. But look at, they built it in much faster time. They're doing some unique things, showing they care, showing consistency, showing clarity. I mean, Harley Davidson, you know, people say they ride a motorcycle or they say they ride a Harley. They don't say I ride a Honda or a Yamaha. They, you know, you have dolls, and then you have, if you talk to little girls, you have American Girl dolls. Oh, that's my American Girl doll. Or her name is Josefina, or Josefina. Those most trusted brands, or I have a Mac. You know, everybody has a computer, or I have a PC, or I have a Mac. Mac is a brand, is one specific company. PCs are any number of companies, but those that really like Mac, boy, they love them, and they trust that brand completely, almost. You know,
I think they almost was good. Yeah, but the communication is extremely important also, because if you don't know what I mean by what I say, and the result and the fact of everything we do is often a different path, then we have a problem there. And I think all of this starts out with the base of the ability to communicate in a way that your target audience, whatever that be, one person, 10 million, has learned to respond.
And that's why the first pillar is clarity, because we got to start on common ground. We've got to be absolutely clear. You know, it's fascinating. Some people hear me on diversity, you know, say, you know what? Diversity doesn't build trust. It's a problem, because what the new, you know, political correctness is, what we need diversity. We need more diversity. Now, hear me out. I absolutely agree that we need diversity. If you and I are exactly the same on a team, we don't have, it doesn't, does us no good. We need, sure. We need differences. We need all that. And so I want people to hear this. And when I say diversity, I am not talking color or gender or anything. I'm just talking diverse thinking. I mean, I grew up on a farm in northern Minnesota. Maybe you grew up in the city. We have a diverse way of thinking at the start. So everybody is more diverse than they think. And some people that look terribly different aren't as diverse as they would think. Still, we're all very different. And we tend to trust those homogenous. So the homogenous groups are people like us. That's why that epic study out of Harvard from Putnam, you know, this just woke everybody up and was kind of a little bit sensitive politically correct-wise. But because he said, well, diversity, is it really that great? The truth is, it is. We need diversity for innovation, creativity, and we need each other. However, we need, on teams, we need diversity in the right way. We need some clarity. If we aren't clear about the definition of terms, as you say, if we don't even define trust right, if we're not clear about the vision, if we're not clear about having the same values, then you do have a diversity that fights and muddles and doesn't get anything done. However, with a very diverse group, you can start to build trust when you start by being very clear about definitions, values, vision, Mission, look, on the battlefield, people can be way different. But, boy, they'll fight the opponent because they have a very clear vision of where they're headed. And they, all the petty little stuff that used to challenge them doesn't matter at all because they're going to die otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you really come down to it, when people are screaming about ethnicity and gender and this and that and whatever, you know, knock on wood, I've never had to go into combat. I was in the service. I was in the Marine Corps, but it was the after Korea, before Nam. So I hit that point where there wasn't, which I would have gone if that's what it would have been. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I did learn was this. If you've got somebody at your back protecting you that could save your life, you don't care what their gender is, what their color is, what their religion is. You're there and you're doing all of those eight pillars at one time.
Yep, there you go. A very good example.
Yeah, okay, now let me ask you this. We got about two. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, we got about 2 minutes to go. Let me ask you this. Let me do it in this way. That with all of your experience, you put the book to pen, obviously. And this happens with most authors, whether it be fact, fiction, fun, fantasy, whatever the case may be. There comes that time somewhere in the middle of the writing when you get this aha moment, this epiphany moment, where you see something about the subject matter that you didn't even know was there. Where was that for you in this writing, in your research?
I would say it started at the beginning. The epiphany was 2003, and I was thinking about what is the uniqueness of the greatest leaders, organizations, brands? What's unique about them? I mean, everybody, you hear motivational speakers on this and that, and you hear people say all kinds of things, and people could say, you know, engagement or leadership or whatever, but what's at the core? And to me, there was an epiphany in 2003 as I was working with teams, serving on boards, you know, speaking at events, that it's trust. And then, you know, I did did my whole graduate research on trust, and really once I saw the bottom line impact, first of all, that was the thing. That was an aha for me because there weren't books on it at the time. There was a lot of work on how trust is broken, but not how trust is built. So first, though, was I think people challenge me by saying, oh, trust is just a soft skill. No, it's not a soft skill. It's a bottom line impactor. And that's the first tie that I made. The first aha was, you know what? This really impacts the bottom line more than people think. You think it's a soft skill? Ask Tiger Woods. One breach of trust or 25 breaches of trust. And he lost millions in weeks, hundreds of millions by now. Your credit score, if you own your own home, it's a trust score. The more you higher the score, the less you pay over the course of the loan. You have to now at the college, the university I used to go to, to go to the P.O. box, you use a combination lock. It costs time to get your mail now. It didn't used to cost time. So trust to show, you know, page 20 of the book really shows this. What's the cost? What's the benefits of trust? How attrition and, you know, costs and time and stress and morale and everything stuff really affects the bottom line. So that was an epiphany. Another epiphany was the eight pillars. At first, I thought there were just a few. Then I thought there were more. Then I thought, and it really settled after all the research was done that these eight, it takes all eight. And you know what? Trust is buildable. It's creatable in an authentic way. And that was all another piece of, you know, people can follow this process and they can become a trusted person, a trusted brand, a trusted organization, and it will change their lives. I mean, a lack of trust is your biggest expense. And it doesn't matter if it's at home with your family, in your community, or at work.
No question, David. We're just about out of time. Let me ask you this. Is there a website we can find you, your work, and the book?
Sure can. DavidHorsager.com. Horsager's a little tough to spell. TheTrustEdge.com might be easier to remember. TheTrustEdge, E-D-G-E, TheTrustEdge.com. And that's the easiest place. I sure hope people find a framework for this way of thinking. They can find some hope, I think, for doing things better and gaining more success and a clear path to get there.
And by the way, if they miss it tonight, if it went by too fast, it's going to be sitting on my website forever. So, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate the time, and all the best.
Take care. Good night.
Yep, good night.
As you're filing out the door, as they say, that's all there is. There isn't any more. We've shared a moment. And as the moment ends, I got a funny feeling we're parting
out. I'm Michael Ray Dresser, and that, my friends, is a wrap.
Your cheers and laughter will linger after they've torn down these dusty walls. If I had this to do again, and the evening were new.
All right, we are off the air.
Got it. We'll live. Okay. See you tomorrow.
Show went off without a hitch. I love it.
Okay. We're getting good. All right. All right. See you tomorrow.
You got it.
Good night.
Good night.